David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger the Messiah was born, amongst kings and some peasants. All Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. And you've called us to boldly seek your face. Ask you, Lord, show us your face, Lord, show us your face, we want to see your face, and then gird up our legs, that we might stand in your holy.
The glory of Israel.
Gabriel said to Mary, his name shall be great. You will call his name Jesus. The glory of your people, Israel. We honor you. We worship you. Because daily it's becoming clearer who you truly are. No longer are we seeing through a glass darkly. But as your light shines more and more, we're seeing you clearer and clearer, face to face. We worship. As we enter your word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all those who are listening to me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who are hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with the light of revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled at the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers of. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver this word with precision redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said. Today I have a very important message. I have entitled it Types, Orders, and the Glories of the Resurrection. The truth and the reality of the resurrection many times is obscure in the minds of many of us because we're so earthly minded, and most of our teaching and preaching is man-centered and need-oriented, physical need-oriented, and not enough emphasis is placed on this epoch of our destiny, the resurrection. And I, being led by the Spirit of God, particularly in the light of the Queen's death, we thank God for her and her life and her faith. I find it very inspiring that, you know, the last weekend of her life, pastor, some bishop or something, I can't remember his name, came to see her, and they were talking about the afterlife. She, in her mind, had begun to see that God wanted her to transit. And she wasn't sick. I mean, she was old, and she had mobility problems, but she wasn't ill. She swam the prime minister just a few days before she died. She wasn't ill, bedridden, or, you know, no. She was ready. Are you ready? Big question. Before I read the scripture, something popped into my mind. It's a scripture. It just popped in now. So I'm going to say it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. That, you know, that truth is not real in the hearts of most of us, because we've heard practically all our lives, particularly this Z generation, those who've been born, you know, most people who got born again, you know, in the, probably from the mid-90s onwards, very sadly and regrettably in most places, all they've heard is a man-centered, need-oriented gospel. You hardly hear any teaching or preaching on the resurrection and the life after. And Paul tells us, if it is only in this life that I want to get a big car and I want to have a nice house and I want to, you know, marry a nice woman and I want to have children, if that's all, he said, I am of all men most miserable. You know why? Many unbelievers who are going to hell will have better than you. Oh yeah. Many people who don't know Jesus, you know, who and don't care and don't want to know. I'm going to talk about that next week when I talk about obeying your conscience. It's going to be a follow-up to this message, because it is the degree to which you obey your conscience that is going to determine your destiny, your type of resurrection, your order of resurrection, and your glory of the resurrection. They're not the same. But that's another message for another day. But I want you to know, if all you think about is this life, my car, my house, my job, my career, the Bible says you are of all men most miserable. Life, destiny, the resurrection is far more than the things of this life. Yes, God wants us to have a good life and He will bless us. But if that's all that is in my mind, I've missed the boat completely. All this is not in my notes, but I'm going to say it. One of the greatest characters in the Bible, in my estimation, and I'm sure the scriptures bear me out, is the man is the young man Joseph. Joseph was a great guy. I preached a message. In fact, that new book that just come out, Crucifying the Flesh, one of the appendices is Joseph had no Bible. Transcribed it into an article. Preached it some years ago. Joseph had no Bible. Yet Joseph outshines many born-again, spirit-filled Christians today. But one thing I appreciated about Joseph was that with all the glory of Egypt, Pastor G, listen to this. Joseph was the wealthiest and most powerful man in his day. God made him so. Pharaoh said, only in the throne. And even then, he was higher than Pharaoh. Pharaoh, because he had the spiritual keys. Pharaoh didn't. Pharaoh understood that and deferred to Joseph. You know, when they carried Joseph around Egypt, Pharaoh said, bow the knee, bow the knee. But you know, Joseph saw beyond all of that. And on his deathbed, he said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. He said, the God of our fathers will visit you. And when he does, the man was looking 400 years ahead. How many years ahead are you looking? Most of us are only looking 2 weeks ahead, 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead. What a shame. What a pity. He was looking 400 years ahead. He said, the God of our fathers will visit you. He said, and when he delivers you, he said, don't leave my bones here. He was going to be a part of the first resurrection. He, watch this, Pastor Andrew. He had that revelation in the Old Testament before there was an understanding of first or second revelation. The Bible had not even been written. But he knew that there was going to be a resurrection. That Jesus was going to come. How did he know all of that? By revelation. And that after Jesus was raised from the dead, we're going to see that in a minute, there was going to be a resurrection of the first fruits. And Joseph had made up his mind he was going to be a part of that company. And if he had woken up in Egypt, there would have been nothing. The Bible says that Jesus, after his resurrection, said the graves were opened. And many, not all. So which order you fall into depends on you. Not all. I just got a tweet. Samson wasn't there. He had a resurrection, but not that one. All the people who misbehave. You see, how you live in this life is going to affect your resurrection. I know you're not told that we're all, and we all get to heaven. All of us are going, yeah, all of us are going to heaven, but watch this, not the same way, not the same, you know. We're not going to be the same. I like Paul again. All this is coming by the Holy Ghost. I like Paul again. He said, do you think I am mad? Olubi Johnson paraphrase. Or you think me and Barnabas don't have power to lead about a sister? Like Peter and the brethren of the Lord? He said, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a clear revelation of the resurrection. And he was not going to allow any silly, temporal pleasure to ruin a glorious, eternal destiny. There are two broad types of resurrection. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He said, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all, both good and bad, that are in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth. Everybody is going to be resurrected. everybody. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There are two resurrections, two types. There's the resurrection unto life. These are broad, you know, categories. And resurrection of damnation, reality. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, as another great saint, let's give Joseph a super clap offering. And then Daniel one. And then Paul another. These are great guys, Pastor G. What would we do without them? I think we know, even if these people were faithful. Then they wrote it down. In Daniel chapter 12, and I'm going to be looking at verses 2 and 3, I believe it is. He said, verse 2, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust, it means people who die, everybody dies, you know, except for this 42nd generation, which we're not going to die because many of us are going to be alive by the time Jesus comes. It just so happens that it's in our generation, you know. But really, you know, on that day, it's not going to matter which generation you were in. The people who were born in 1300 and something or 1600 and something, depending on the kind of how they obey their conscience, make sure you don't miss next Sunday's message. You know, the resurrection will be good. And it was some people who lived, like Joseph who lived so many years ago without the Bible, he is going to have a better resurrection than some people who live today with all the Bible. How you live, the degree to which you obey the truth of God as revealed in your conscience. Say, the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law. Their conscience, you know, bearing witness to them, whether good or bad. That's what's good. Determine every day you're plotting your destiny. There's a point, you know, like when you plot a graph. You know what you do? You point, a point, a point. And then that determines the trajectory and where you finally wind up. Don't let anybody fool you. There's going to be a resurrection of life, and it's going to be a resurrection of corruption. Many of them, I didn't hear you, that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's where Jesus got this from. And he said, they'll hear my voice, some to life, some to damnation. Then verse 3, I like this one. And they that be wise, now not everybody will be wise. You know, the Bible is a great book, Pastor Wally. It says in the end time, there were five virgins. 10. It says five were wise. They're all Christians. And five were foolish. So he's not talking about the foolish, he's talking about the wise. Pastor Andrew, thanks for that stanza that you added to that David Ingalls song. Beautiful. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. It's beautiful. Beautiful. That's the first time I heard it myself. I think they probably did it over the weekend. You know, that's the ministry of a psalmist. Another car clap offering for the Lord. They that be wise, not they that are born again. The wise virgins that had oil in their vessel. Let anybody fool you. Paul said that. He said, babe, don't be deceived. He said, I buffet my body. I keep it under. So that lest I be disqualified. The resurrection is real, folks. They shall shine. I didn't hear you. Let's read together again. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. A clap offering for the Lord. I want to ask you a rhetorical question whose answer is probably obvious, but it will provoke your thinking. Why in the world do you think God had Daniel write this down? Why? To motivate you. That I'm going to be one of those guys who's going to shine like the firmament. In astronomy, you know, I did physics, and it's one of the studies that we love. We love about the stars. We've just sent up another telescope. This James Webb telescope is bringing us wonderful pictures of, you know, the light takes many millions of years to get here. So what we're seeing, the images we're seeing now, were things that happened sometimes, you know, 4 billion years ago, you know, light years and all of that. And we see magnificent pictures of the stars and the galaxies, and they're being formed together, you know. And God is trying to tell you, he says, they will be like the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteous stars forever. There's an explosion in outer space that's called a supernova. When a planet implodes and then it explodes. And when it happens, you can see the light many, many light years away. It doesn't happen too often. Not everybody is going to be a supernova. But I certainly plan to be one. Am I talking to anybody here? So those are the two broad categories that I call types. So there's either a resurrection of life or a resurrection to damnation. Now, there are orders in those two categories. There are pre-millennium resurrections. That is, resurrections that take place before the millennial reign of Christ. All pre-millennium resurrections will result in the resurrection of a glorified body. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6, quickly. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of those that were beheaded, as by the Antichrist, for the witness of Jesus. These are the guys who went through tribulation that didn't go with the first flight. You know, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor received the mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Watch this, verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again. That doesn't mean they weren't alive. It just means that they were not raised. They did not get a resurrection. Folks, let me just take a pause. I'm going to come back to scripture in a minute. You need to understand this. When any Christian dies now, anybody really, Christian or sinner, when you die now, your spirit exits your body. I was saying this, you know, at Professor Orr's funeral on Friday. Just like I take off my suit. I take off my suit this afternoon. The suit is not me. The suit is moving. The hand is moving because I'm inside it. Now the reason why your body is moving because your spirit is inside it. Once your spirit exits your body will just be like this suit when I take it off in the afternoon and I put it on my bed in my house. You say, oh, look at the suit will answer you. The man is not inside the suit. But you say, oh, look at now, the suit will shake. Because I'm inside the suit. Are you listening to me? Now, when your spirit exits your body, it's no longer clothed. You're alive. I love that scripture that Jesus preached from, when he preached from the burning bush. He said, and even Moses showed you. That's what you call hidden manna. He said, and even Moses showed you at the burning bush. And he said, he's the God of Abraham, of Isaac and of Jacob. And the Lord Jesus said, he's not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. You know why? Abraham is alive. Give Papa Abraham a clap offering. He can hear your clap. He can hear it. Give Jacob a clap offering. Give Isaac a clap offering. They're not dead. They're alive. They're in heaven. Heaven is a planet. Not like our own kind of, but spiritual. It's far billions of light years away from here. That's why you can't see with your telescope. But it's there. Are you listening to me? Now, the point I'm making is that when a Christian, or anybody else for that matter, exits, the physical body he used to wear is in the ground, if it's buried, you know. So, in a sense, he's alive, but not with a body. So what the Bible means here when it says that the rest of the dead did not live, it doesn't mean that they were not alive. It just means that they were not resurrected until after the 1,000 years. Now, this is a great truth that many Christians miss. And I've said this many times over the years. I feel like I'm going for a rude shock. You know, we've all been told, oh, you know, you're born again, you know. It depends on how you live. You will go to heaven. No, I'm not talking about heaven now. But if you don't live particularly in a particular kind of way, you can miss the first resurrection. You'll be raised again, but you'll only be raised after the millennium. Your spirit will stay in heaven. You will not be here on earth with us for the millennial reign. Because you will not have a glorified body. Only the people who make the first resurrection get a glorified body and come back to the earth and reign with Jesus. The Christians who do not partake of the first resurrection will live again. They will get bodies, but they will not be glorified. They will be natural bodies. How be it nice, purified, and all of that. And they're going to need healing for those bodies throughout eternity. That is why God is going to put trees in something which is going to be for the healing of the nations. They're going to have natural bodies, not glorified bodies. You better wake up. You better wake up. And the way many Christians are living, they're not going to make the first resurrection. I'm going to show you why. That's the reason for this message, is to wake you up and ginger you. That was driving Paul. That's why he made that statement. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all members. Joseph, with all his wealth and his glory, he saw beyond that. Is it the riches of Egypt I'm going to take to heaven? He said, there's a first resurrection that is coming. And I'm going to be a part of it now. You guys, when God visits you and takes you out, make sure you take my bones. Don't leave it here. Because that first resurrection was regional. It was local. It was not everywhere. It was only the saints that were buried in the Jerusalem area. Have you noticed that all the good kings were buried in the sepulcher of the kings? Oh, burial is important. It has its place. The Bible says that if a guy lives 100 years, you know, and he dies without burial, he said, you know, a miscarriage, you know, is better than him. Why? Where you are buried, how you are buried, can have an effect on your resurrection. Oh, yes. You notice Ahab was not buried in the sepulchre of the kings. The bad boys, go and check the Bible. There was one particular king, I can't remember his name. You know, the bad ones, I don't remember their names. It's the good ones, I remember their names. The Jehoshaphats and the Hezekiahs and all of that. The bad ones, the Bible says he died and he was not mourned. And he was not buried in the sepulcher of the kings. There was a particular place in Jerusalem where the kings were buried. I just got another tweet. Let's wake up. Do you know that Saul
was killed by the Philistines. And they took his body to the house of their idol. And it was certain valiant men. They knew what they were doing. They went to get the body of Jonathan, the bones of Jonathan and the bones of Saul, and came and buried it back in Israel. It would have had an effect on the land of Philistines. There's no resurrection there. Not the first one. There's going to be worldwide resurrection when Jesus comes back. But this, the one Jesus did immediately after his resurrection, you know, was local. So the guys who understood what was going to happen, you know, people like Joseph and others, they said, make sure you bury me. Joseph, David was buried in the sepulchre of his fathers, you know, and down through the years, the good kings, God is very wise. You know, the bad kings, God made sure they were not buried there. In our own time, it really doesn't matter because the resurrection, the opening of the grave is going to be universal. But that first, very, very first one we're going to see in a minute was local to Jerusalem. And the people who had revelation and understanding made sure they were buried there. But the rest of the dead, I didn't hear you. Verse 5. Oh, no. Yeah, I paused the scripture. Let me go back to where I saw. You know, yeah. Verse 5. He said, but the rest of the dead lived not again. Now, I explained that. That was all I explained. Not as if they were not alive. They were alive, but they were in heaven. They are spirits, but their spirits had no body. No physical body. So they were alive spiritually, but they had not experienced a resurrection. There are millions of people in heaven today who are there, but they don't have a physical body. It's at the resurrection you get your physical body back, either in a glorified form, if you partake of the first resurrection, or in an ordinary natural form like you had, but it will be healed. It will be well, it will be some, but it will not be glorified. So you can't walk through doors. Like Jesus did at the end, after the resurrection. You can't fly now. You can't go to some constellation outside our solar system. Your physical body can do that. So if you do not get a glorified body at your resurrection, and you just have an ordinary body, you will be confined to whichever planet God assigns you forever. Only people with glorified bodies can move above the speed of light and move from galaxy to galaxy, from planet to planet. If you don't have a glorified body, you can't get that. I don't know how you are. If you can't say amen, say oh me. He's amen anyway. The rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. You know, over the year, people always say, oh, the second resurrection is all the damned. No. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy. See, that's what qualified them. Is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign. These are the guys who reign on earth for 1,000 years. Now, jump to verse 11. Same Revelation chapter 20. And watch this. It's deep. And I saw. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. A great white throne. And him that sat on it. From whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead. I didn't hear you. Small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books according to their works. Folks, judgment day is coming. Now, this born-again Christian who lives properly with God is not going to be here. He would have had his own judgment at the Bema Seat of Christ. But this is for the general people in the world. That's where that next Sunday's message is going to be very important. Every day, a record is being kept of how you are responding to your conscience. The books were opened. And then, of course, there's the book of life. And then the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the book. According to, that's what's going to, you see, your works will not determine whether you go to heaven or go to hell. Your works will determine the quality of your resurrection. That's why they're very important. We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith through Jesus Christ. But we are saved unto good works. If I do a lot of good works, I'm going to get more glory in my resurrection. If I do less good works, I'm going to get less glory. If I don't do certain kind of works, you know, even my order of resurrection is going to be will be in jeopardy. If it depends on how I live, will determine, watch this, the order of my resurrection and the glory of my resurrection. I didn't hear even one amen. It won't change it. And the sea, verse 13, everybody. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Watch this. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they, the one that came from the sea, and the one that came from death and hell, all of them, were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice the people in the sea were not cast into the lake of fire. Who are the sea? These are the people who missed the first resurrection. They've been raised. Now, they now have natural bodies. They don't go to hell. They go to heaven, you know. But they're not death and hell. The sea is symbolic of the mass of humanity. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. Let's quickly go there. You're looking at me funny. 15, verse 15, very quickly. And he saith unto me, Revelation 17, 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, and tongues, and nations. That's the sea. See, your great-great-great-great-grandfather, you know, those people who, some of them, they are bad people. They obey the law of conscience. Jesus, Bible says, Jesus preached to the spirits in prison. He took them to heaven. But some of them, their resurrection cannot be in the first resurrection. It's going to be a second resurrection. They're going to get natural bodies back. They're going to live. They will be on earth or maybe some other planet. And they'll be confined there. They cannot move from planet to planet because they do not have glorified bodies. It takes a glorified body to be able to be like Jesus. You notice Jesus made two trips on resurrection day. Hello? I'm looking at me funny. Hello? Maybe three. You know, he came from hell, firstborn from the dead. He takes up his body. It's a resurrected body. Are you following me? It's a glorified body. But he still had the marks of the cross on it, but healed. So they could see daylight through his fingers and on his legs. That's why I told Doubting Thomas. He said, touch Richard. Look at my hands. You know, and this maybe, you know, came out of hell maybe about 5 o'clock in the morning, somewhere like that, you know. So by the time Mary Magdalene and the other women came and they looked inside the tomb, it was empty. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Woo! Glory be to God. But they saw the clothes, that the napkin that they used to wrap his head. They saw it was neatly folded and placed by itself. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he has a good sense of humor. You know, immediately John saw that thing. John knew he had been raised from the dead because Jesus is always neat. Yes. You know, so anyway, You know, and he walks around. Y'all walks around, you know, moving around. So, you know, James and John, they come, they see something, they don't really know what's going on. Peter doesn't know, but John believes, and they go back to their house. But Mary Magdalene stays. She's grief-stricken because she was very emotionally attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and she was crying and all of that. Jesus appears to her. Initially, she doesn't know it's Jesus. He's backing her, you know. And he said, you know, where, you know, they've taken my Lord away. Where have you put him? Then he says, Mary. Ah, she recognizes his voice and she wants to rush him. Chill. Will it be Johnson paraphrase? Don't mess things up. I'm freshly risen from the dead. I'm in my glorified body. I'm in a high priest of the new creation. After the order of Melchizedek, I have some important, elaborate ceremonies to perform at the temple of God in heaven. So don't touch me. Because if you touch me, you will defile me. Because you still have the sin nature in your flesh. You defile me and you mess things up. So don't touch me. She wanted to embrace him. She said, don't touch me. He said, now, go and tell Peter and the guys. Tell them you've seen me. That I've raised from the dead. And I'll see you guys later in the evening. And then he checks. Give the Lord a clap offering. He takes a fast flight to heaven. Faster than the speed of light. Because that glorified body can withstand it. You know, even in the natural physics, we know that. You know, if you don't make your planes of certain material, when it gets to a particular speed, do you understand? It would disintegrate. That's why, you know, they've been trying to send this Artemis back, this lunar something. They've had to cancel it because they found some faults, you know. They canceled it once or twice. I don't know if they've done it now, you know. Because when you go to outer space, like to the moon and places like that, when you come back, you're coming back in a re-entry vehicle. That re-entry vehicle must be able to withstand the heat that is going to take to pierce the Earth's atmosphere and get back into the Earth. So it is designed very, very carefully so that it does not disintegrate as it comes back into the Earth's atmosphere. That's, you know, reality of higher space physics. Now, so it is in the spirit. You know, that's why a person with a glorified body can't just be going to heaven and coming back. He would disintegrate. But Jesus could. Give the Lord a clap offering. So he flies to heaven after seeing Mary Magdalene, gets to heaven and is in heaven. He has this great reception. Glory to God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of thy kingdom, the scepter of righteousness. For you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. High priest. Then he goes into the very temple. You see, what Moses was given was just a copy of what is actually in heaven. So Jesus goes into the holiest of all of the temple in heaven with his own blood. And then he sprinkles his own blood on the mercy seat, giving complete remission for our past, present, and future sins. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Give him a super clap offering. Glory to God. This is not Easter religion. This is revelation fact. Yeah. So what happened that day? And I'm sure there was a lot of other singing and angels and a lot of ceremony. Then he says, look, I have to go back to the earth now. I promise them I'm coming back this evening. So he flies back in. True story. And while they're all talking and all of that, he meets the guys on the road to Emmaus. He opens the scriptures and their understanding, you know, then he disappears, you know. Then they quickly go to Jerusalem, meet the 12 and the other apostles, you know, apart from Judas, the 11. And where they are still discussing and some were still wondering, he suddenly appears through the door. See, he's operating above the speed of light. Just like this mobile phone, if I'm in that office, the signal will come. It'll go through the wall. Why? Because it's operating at a frequency in which the wall looks like big gaps. We can learn a little of the spirit from the natural. We don't understand it all, but we have analogies. That's why Jesus could walk through the door. That's a glorified body. May you get one in Jesus' name. Or are you going to throw it away for some piece of pottage? That's what a lot of Christians are doing. I don't realize they're doing that. It's not heaven. It's just not going to heaven. In what state are you going to heaven? What is going to be the type of your resurrection? What is going to be the order of your resurrection? What is going to be the glory of your resurrection? So the Lord Jesus returns sometime that evening, talks to the guys in Emmaus, opens their eyes, and disappears. Moves again, speed of light. Next time, he appears where the 12, the 11 are gathered together, and he said, "Hail!" And the Bible says they were affrighted as if they had seen a spirit. You know, we're so religiously minded. He said, "It is me, myself." He had performed the ceremony so they could now touch him. He said, "Touch me. Handle me. See my hand. See my side." "You don't believe, eh? Okay. What do you have here that I can eat? Give me fish. Give me fish. And a honeycomb." And he ate it. We're going to eat in heaven. Another clap offering. Hallelujah. The glorified body can eat. Not only can he eat, he can also drink wine. And it won't get drunk. Another clap offering for the Lord. Jesus said so. Anyway, so he does all of that, you know, and then he's very angry with them. Not too angry, but he chastens them because they did not believe Mary Magdalene. He chastened them because of their unbelief. After all, I told you before I left that I was going to be dead 3 days and I'm going to rise again. And Mary Magdalene told you this morning that she saw me and you didn't believe. So he upbraided them for their unbelief. He chastened them, you know, not too strongly, but, you know, rebuked them. And then disappears again. You know, the man was going from heaven to earth, heaven to earth, heaven to earth. He was just, you know, because he had a glorified body that will not disintegrate on re-entry. A clap offering for the Lord. Hallelujah. And over the next 40 days, he was doing that. He'll come teach them, you know, Bible school. Then after the lectures, goes back to heaven. The next day, he'll come, you know, and he'll teaching them and all of that, you know, appears to them. Three times, as recorded in the book of John, I'm talking about the disciples now. You know, he appeared more than that, according to the book of Acts. But the three times, as recorded in the book of Acts, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared that evening on Easter Sunday. Then he appeared, you know, again after about a week. Because one time he came, you know, Thomas wasn't there. So all the others told him, the man is risen. We saw him. We handled him. He ate fish in front of us. Thomas said, There's so many people like Thomas today. Except I see the print and put my hand in the print of it and touch it. Watch this. I will not believe. Believing is an act of your will. He chose not to. So Jesus appears. About 7 or 8 days later, they're all there, and Thomas is there. Then he said, "Thomas, come here. Have a wallet. Come. I heard what you said." Olubi Johnson paraphrase. He said, "Put her on your finger. Put it. My Lord and my God." Wailaro, my Lord and my God. Didn't know my Lord and my God before. He said, "Blessed are they which have not seen but have believed." Because you now see, you believe. It was a big rebuke. Thomas repented. And he has a very good history that we read about in church history. But, you see, that's why all of us need to get our act together spiritually and understand the reality of these things. And so, that concludes the two broad categories, the good resurrection, the bad resurrection, then the pre-millennium, which is the one with the glorified body, and the post-millennium, which is the one with the ordinary body. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 22, in verse 2, let's quickly go there. Am I helping anybody here? Oh, my goodness. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, talking about heaven, you know, the New Jerusalem, on either side of the river were the tree of life, that same tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the what? If you have a glorified body, you don't need healing. So it's not owing to us. He's talking to people who got second resurrection, who didn't make the first resurrection. They're going to have to maintain those bodies. They'll have access to these leaves. There'll be no more curse and so on and so forth. Now, under the first resurrection, you now have four orders. I know you don't hear all of this in your Bible school and in many of your traditional churches, but I'm giving you the reality from the Bible. There are four orders. I'm going to run through them very quickly. The first one has already taken place. Was when Jesus was raised from the dead, it wasn't Jesus alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 23, it says, Christ the first fruits. Then in Matthew, most people know that scripture, but let me show you another scripture that many people are not very familiar with, which is Matthew chapter 27. This is the one Joseph made. Give Joseph another clap offering. And not only Joseph, a lot of other, all the top Old Testament saints who are buried in the Jerusalem area, some of the good kings, David probably made it. You know, I don't know, but, you know, I'm almost certain he made it, you know. And all the good guys, you know. Look at Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse 52. Oh, Jesus help me. Right. Now, he's talking about Jesus' death in verse 51. Jesus dies. He is of the ghost. The veil of the temple is rent in two from top to bottom. It wasn't from bottom to top. So a human being could not have done it. An angel did it. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. This was not on Friday. This was Sunday morning. The temple, the veil was rent on Friday. But on Sunday morning, after Jesus was raised from the dead, that was when the earthquake, the rocks rent and the graves were opened. I didn't hear you. Open your mouth, somebody. And many bodies, sadly it wasn't all, many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves, screaming, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto. Imagine your great-great-grandfather just walking through the door. You won't even know him because you were not alive. You know, he was dead before you were born. In those days, they didn't have pictures like we have today. You know, maybe your great-great-great-great-grandfather, y'all walk through the door, you know, through the wall and say, hi, I'm your great-great-grandfather. Y'all been raised from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ just raised up. Just I say hi before we go to heaven. Literally, that's what happened. I just pay a visit to you and you boys, you're not doing too well spiritually. You know, make sure you put your spiritual act together so you can make the first resurrection like I did. And then just disappears. Twinkling of an eye. Amen. And he's gone. That's what happened that day. Many of the saints, not all, would have been nice if it was all, but many, like Joseph, like, you know, Daniel, you know, these are guys, you know, these guys who are on the cutting edge, the Isaiahs, the Ezekiels, the Jeremiahs, you know, all these guys who we read about in the scriptures, Old Testament saints, who were buried in the Jerusalem area. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, they came out of their graves. And they went to their relatives. It says, and they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Some people not even ready. Just come and just say, do you know who I am? I'm Jerry. My name is Jerry Ma. You know? We can't spend long because the Lord Jesus Christ is taking us in a train to back to heaven. He's leading captivity captive. You know, but before we left, I just said it was nice to say hello. I'm not going to miss this. I'm not going to miss it. For what? For what? If in this life only. So that's the number one. Number two, there is a pre-tribulation order. That is the people who are raptured and receive their glorified bodies before the tribulation. Luke 21:36. It says, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy. Everybody say, accounted worthy. Oh, say it again. Say it again. Oh, you didn't say it well enough. Ask your neighbor. Say, why did he say accounted worthy? If it's automatic, if it's for everybody, watch it there for everybody. Read the scripture and pray sometimes. Mm-hmm. That you may be accounted to escape some. That shall understand. This is the pre-tribulation rapture. It's not for everybody. Let me qualify that. It is for everybody. But it is only those who fulfill the conditions that will make it. But it's available to everybody. And it's watching and praying always. It's what we call, I learned that from Kenneth Copeland, call it first flight. See, the first of the first was Jesus and Joseph and all those ones whose graves opened in Jerusalem. That's what we call Christ and the first fruits. So this is number two. This is going to happen before the tribulation. This was going to happen after we preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations, make disciples of all nations. He's going, all the people who participate actively in that, you know, and live the kind of life they should live, who are counted worthy, you know, who are watching and praying always, they'll be taken up. You know. Then, so this is number two. We're talking about orders. This is in the first resurrection. In the first resurrection, there are four orders. Christ and the first fruits. The pre-tribulation order. Then there is a mid-tribulation order. Revelation 11:11. Am I talking to anybody here? Revelation 11:11. That's an easy scripture to remember. I believe it is. And after 3 days and a half, you know, these are two witnesses. They have been killed by the Antichrist. Everybody's rejoicing and all of that. And after 3.5 days, hello? I didn't hear you, folks. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And then I heard, and they heard, a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven. What? And their enemies beheld them. Now that cloud, I believe, contains some other people. Bible talking about a cloud of witnesses. You know, so we know the two, which are Enoch and Elijah. Those are the only two men in the Bible who did not die a natural death. Enoch was taken to heaven. Enoch is in heaven today, but doesn't have a body. His body is still on earth. No, his body went with him to heaven. Elijah, too, was taken in his body to heaven. They must still come back to the earth. For it is appointed unto every man once to die. They will come back as the two witnesses. Then they will die. They will be killed. Their bodies will be left on the streets of Jerusalem. This is mid-tribulation. Then God will raise them up in addition to some other saints. Basically, probably more Jewish, you know, natural Jews, 144,000. And maybe a few Gentiles. But it's maybe. I don't want to book for that flight. It's too dicey. They may say, no Gentiles. So there is a mid-tribulation order. And then finally, there is a post-tribulation order. You find that in Matthew chapter 24. Am I helping anybody here? If I'm helping you, give the Lord a wave offering. Then give me a wave offering and give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Andrew, we need to be teaching things like this, you know, very regularly. So people become heavenly minded and stop living carnal lives. When last did anybody teach on the resurrection? On all the, you know, social media and everything. You don't hear those kind of things. Oh, yeah, it's breakthrough, Abuja, you know, contract. And all that will not profit you on resurrection day. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Hello? And verses 29 through 31. Matthew 29 through 31. This is the post-tribulation. There's going to be an order before the tribulation. There's going to be an order in the middle of the tribulation. And there's going to be an order at the end of the tribulation. Now, I'm going to get to that. Don't let me get ahead of myself. Let's quickly just finish with this. 29. This is Jesus coming back. Everybody say, immediately after. Everybody scream, after. Then touch your neighbor. That means post-tribulation. Let's say it again. Immediately after. Not before. Not in the middle. After the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon will not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be taken. And then, I didn't hear you, verse 30, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Oh my God, I feel sorry for them. You know, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Somebody said, how can this be? You know, when they wrote the Bible, thousands of years ago, there was no technology. So they said, if I'm in Jerusalem, and you're in South Africa, and this other person is in China, how can all of us see? You will see it on satellite. You will see it. Oh. And they will mourn. Ah, they'll say, those Christians said it. I wish I had listened to Brother Olubi. so it's true. It's too late. Listen now. And he shall send. I didn't hear you. His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. This is another rapture. Are you listening to me? This is post-tribulation. So, as I begin to round up, why is this message important? It is important so that you will know that it's not automatic. And it will motivate you to live a life of holiness and purity. And I'm not talking about legalistic holiness or wearing of scarf and all of that. No. I'm talking about internal, you know, I'm going to get ahead of myself. You know, you put the life of God into your physical body that will cause you to think and behave like God. Now, the order of your resurrection will be determined by the type of life you live. Let me just write it the way my notes. To purify ourselves, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Quickly go there. It says, he that had this hope in him, it's true for perfection, but it's also true for resurrection, purifieth himself. If I have this hope, if I want a resurrection, if I want a good resurrection, then I'm going to live a holy life. He that had this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. to obtain, and I use the word here, best resurrection. You know what? The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, in 11:35. He said that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. In the Old Testament, some people refused to accept deliverance. Why? So that they would get a better resurrection. I didn't hear you. You know what that means? I remember good, better, best. It's from elementary English. I remember? So there is a good resurrection, which you get a body, you know, but it's not glorified. There is a better resurrection, which you get a glorified body, but you may not get the best order. And then there's the best resurrection, where you get a glorified body and you get the best order. The best order in our time, in Jesus' time, you know, it was Christ and the first fruits, those who had died and whose bodies had been buried in Jerusalem area, who could get, we can't partake of that because it's gone. But there's the one we are looking forward to now is the one at the rapture. Now, I have to watch and pray always that I may be accounted worthy to be a partaker of the pre-tribulation resurrection. It is possible to miss it. Don't your neighbor say, you will not miss it in Jesus' name. That's, you know, they like to tell us all those lies, you know. All that shouting Jesus' name, we're not going to get it done. What's going to get it done is to watch and pray always. Don't miss it all. Those who miss the pre-tribulation rapture will be here for the tribulation. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm telling you this is bad news, but it's good news. Bad news because what happens is going to be bad. But good news so that it will motivate you and you stop playing church. Many of the Christians who are left behind after the pre-tribulation rapture, God in his mercy will allow the natural calamities to kill them. Because most of them don't even have the strength to be able to resist the Antichrist. Because they don't listen, they don't pray, they don't watch and pray always, they don't read their Bible, they don't have the inner strength. So in order so that they will not receive the mark of the beast and go to hell, there are going to be earthquakes, there are going to be pestilences, there's going to be comets from heaven, there's going to be fire, blood is going to be in the sea, 1/3 of the fish are going to die, you know, 1/4, there's going to be war, a quarter, so many of the, that's when they will die. They'll go to heaven, no. But they would have missed the better resurrection. And even some of them, depending on how they live, that's the last thing we're going to do, talk about now, the how. You know, but I'll just get ahead of myself a little bit. Depending on how they live, it will be determined whether they will even make the first resurrection or the second. If they live a very good life, you know, where they have the life of God in their flesh, they'll be able to make the first resurrection, even, you know, it might be, you know, at the post-tribulation. Because for each of the raptures, watch this. The graves are going to open, but they're going to open selectively. Just like the first one, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says the graves were open and many, but it wasn't all the graves. So your grave will open in your order. So if you miss the first one, your own grave will not open then. If it's a mid-tribulation that you make, then your grave will open in mid-tribulation. If it's post-tribulation, then your grave will open at post-tribulation and then it will come go up. And then your spirit, which is already in heaven, will come and it, you know, be joined back to your body. It's reality, folks. That's why God said, "Go and teach this thing. The types, the orders, and the glories of the resurrection." It's not automatic. Every man in him that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Stop playing church. Wake up. The apostle Paul woke up and said, if in this life only. Paul was a great man by any standards. But he wasn't bothered by what he had in this life because he knew something was more important. Joseph, that's why I use the example of Joseph. One of the richest, most powerful men on the earth. That was not what moved him. He said, when I die, don't leave my bones in Egypt. God forbid. I don't know if any grave opened in Egypt.
It will open, you know, because now it's going to be universal. Graves will open in Nigeria. Graves will open in America. Depending on the order of your resurrection, your grave will only open in the order you qualify for. You're looking at me funny. Okay. So that you can obtain the best possible resurrection. The Hebrews 11:35 says that they may obtain a better. That scripture shows us that there are different kinds of resurrection. Otherwise, it wouldn't say better. Is this clear? It means there is a good, there is a better, and there is a best resurrection. Am I talking to anybody? If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Okay, let's close. Now, this is a great truth I'm about to share with you. What determines the order and the glory of your resurrection? The measure of the life of God sown into your soul and body in this life will determine the order and the glory of your resurrection. Look at John chapter 6. Great teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ on eternal life and the resurrection. John chapter 6, verses 35 and 40. And then we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we'll close. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still with me, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. You may be angry with me, but you can't be angry with the Lord. Amen. John chapter 6, verses 35. Now, Jesus is teaching here about eternal life and why he came. He said, and Jesus said unto them, I didn't hear you. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. He was talking to the Jews, some of the Jews that didn't believe. All that the Father, I didn't hear you, giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, I didn't hear you, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that has sent me, that all of them which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again. When? At the last day. That the word last day there is prophetic, because he's talking about, it's not 24 hours. He's looking at the millennium. So when you talk about the last day, it starts from now, really, you know, because we're already in the third day. And it's a 1,000-year-long period. Inside that day, there will be different orders, as I've explained. They're going to be the post pre-tribulation. It's going to be mid-tribulation. It's going to be, you know, post-tribulation. Then after the tribulation, after the millennium, there's still going to be, you know, a resurrection. The sea is going to give up the dead in it. So when you say at the last day, it's talking about a period, about a 1,000-year period, you know, which one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And this is the will, verse 40, I didn't hear you. And this is the will of him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have, everybody scream it, and I will raise him up at the last day. Revelation. It is the degree of everlasting life that you receive in this lifetime that is going to determine the order and the glory of your resurrection. Take it to the bank. That's why I said, and that they may have everlasting life, and I will raise up. In other words, if he doesn't get everlasting life, he's not going to be raised up on the last day. It's only those who get eternal life in this life that are raised up in the last day. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, a great revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. He didn't experience it in his lifetime, but he saw it and wrote it down for us. Look at, always bearing about in the body The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, paraphrase, you know, you need to get our new book, Crucifying the Flesh. What it means is that always crucifying the lust of the flesh, you know, and flushing it out on a daily basis. The dying of the Lord Jesus, that is the goal, that's the purpose. That the life of God might be made manifest in the mortal body. Let me paraphrase. In other words, if I don't die, I wrote another book called Dying to Live. If I don't die and I don't kill the sin nature in my flesh by the Spirit, the life of God cannot be made manifest in my mortal flesh. Let me go a step further. What we're really saying is this. This is the Spirit, not just the letter. The Spirit of the Scripture. The degree to which I die and crucify the sin nature, remove the sin nature in my body, is the degree to which the life of God will be made manifest therein. And it's going to determine the order of my resurrection. It's going to determine the glory of my resurrection. Next verse, verse 11. We're going to close now. For we which live are always delivered. Everybody scream always. You see it again in Luke. Watch and pray always. That's how you crucify the flesh. You know? Are always delivered unto death. Death, yes, doesn't mean physical death. Not I'm going to die. It means, you know, always delivered unto the dying of the killing, the mortifying, the crucifying of the sin nature in my flesh. For Jesus to say, that, he repeats it twice. That, the purpose is so that the life of God might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The degree to which the life of God is made manifest in your spirit, soul, and body is going to determine the order of your resurrection and the glory of your resurrection. People who do not receive eternal life at all get a resurrection unto damnation. They get a resurrected body. You know, everybody's going to have a resurrected body. Even the sinner. It's in Isaiah chapter 66. He says, you know, give it to me, verse 18 or something. He says, you know, where the worm dieth not. You know, people don't like to read those kind of scriptures, but it's important. Someone said, are you trying to make me afraid? Yes! I want to scare the hell out of you. That hell that is trying to take you to hell, I want to get it out of you so you will go to heaven. Scare the hell out of you. The Bible says your tongue is set on fire of hell. So that hell, I want to scare it out of you. Mm-hmm. You know what the Lord just told me? He said, well done, son. You're doing your job. He just said that to me. Yes. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses. They have physical bodies. They've been resurrected. Of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. That body will be in a constant eternal state of putrefaction. If it doesn't make an evangelist out of you, I don't know what will. Hell is not a place to go. And don't let anybody fool you that there's one purgatory somewhere. And that if you pay certain priests some money and they pray, after 10 years, God will take you out of the place. It doesn't exist. It's forever. Those who want the resurrection of damnation, this is it. That body will be a decayed worms and fire and pain and torment will torment them through eternity in the lake of fire. Stand to your feet. If you receive eternal life, you will have a good resurrection. Now, the degree or the measure of eternal life that you receive, your spirit, if you get it only in your spirit, but you don't get it in your mind, you don't get it in something, you're probably just going to have a good resurrection. You get not a glorified body, you get a body, you'll be resurrected. But it won't be glorified. If you put in your soul and in your body, the degree to which you are will now determine whether you get a glorified body, but it would, you know, the glory of your glorified body will be determined by the measure. So those who, that's what Paul, you know, Paul, he knew what he was talking about. That all motivated him. And that's why he wrote those marvelous words, "If in this life only." He looked at himself. He looked at Barnabas and some of the guys around him. They had no house. We have no certain dwelling place. Do you understand? They didn't have a, but they were rich in the spirit. Then he said to himself, and he wrote it for us. He said, "If in this life only that I have hope in Christ, I would have been the most miserable," because he didn't have anything. He wasn't married. He didn't have wife. He didn't have children. He didn't have, you'd have thought the guy just lived a useless life. But Paul is going to have one of the greatest resurrections. I want to see the glory of Paul's body. You know, some people, their resurrection will be so powerful. The glory of their bodies, it will light entire galaxies. I did not say solar systems. Because of the intensity of the light. And some people will have resurrected, glorified body, but it can only light a city. Not even a planet. Just like in the natural. That's why you need to live. Every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself even as he's pure. For all the saints. Midden. Cardi. Good. For all the
who from their labors rest, who thee by faith beat for the world confess thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Hallelujah.
Now, this is present revelation truth. This, we are doing this now. He's our rock. He's our fortress. So fight now to get the best resurrection.
Thou wast there. Their fortress and their mine, thou Lord, their captain, in the well-fought fight, thou in the darkness, dread the one true light.
Hallelujah. The next verse.
May thy soul just faithful, true and bold fight as the saints who nobly fought of old
and win. Hallelujah.
With them the victor's crown of gold.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is prophetic. This particular, just a minute. This particular, because now that glorious day is breaking on us. The day of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And now the saints are going to rise triumphant. in bright array. He's talking about the resurrection, but he's also talking about now, where the life of God will be made manifest in your mortal flesh. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. This is what we're fighting for. This is the real breakthrough. Sing it.
But lo, now breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in brighter ray.
Oh, glory to God.
The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia. Alleluia.
One more time. What law now breaks?
A yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way.
Put one hand on your heart, raise your hand to God. Keep playing that in the background. See, folks, the church, they called it the missionary church. After the Reformation in 1517, God, using King James, made the Bible translated into the common language. And England, or called Britain today, England, Ireland, you know, talk about St. Patrick. St. Patrick is their patron saint. He was actually a real man who went there to preach to the Irish, you know. Began to speak God's word. And they began to read it. It was by the decree of the king. That's why in every Anglican church, what we call Church of England, you know, they will read the gospel. They will read the epistle. They will read the collect and some other things. And my liturgical order is not so good. But, you know, it was all compulsory. So light began to enter England and Britain. It wasn't so on the continent, but it was so in England. It gave rise to the revivals of John Wesley, who wasn't born again at first, and he got born again, and then God used him tremendously, and his brother Charles. All these hymns, they were written in that spiritual atmosphere. They saw ahead and they wrote it down in these wonderful hymns. I know we sing it religiously many times, we don't even understand what we're singing, but it's real, folks. Raise that hand. We're going to pray in a minute, but I want you to talk to God by yourself. Say, God, I want the best resurrection. I don't just want a good resurrection. I don't just want a better resurrection. I want the best that is available today. And the best is the pre-tribulation resurrection. Not only that, I want the best glory I can get by your mercy and grace. And he's told you how. We which live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus said that the life of God be made manifest in your mortal flesh. The degree to which that is would tell me the glory. Say, one star will differ from another star in glory. Stop living only for the natural. Stop living just for food and meat and car and house and marriage and children. Paul had no children. But look at him. Don't live for only the natural. If in this life only you have hope in Christ, you're of all men most miserable. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I didn't hear you. I thank you for your word. I confess my sins where I've lived majorly only for material blessings. Your word reveals that even this life only, I have hope. I have faith in Christ. He said, I am of all men most miserable. I repent of a man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based gospel. Oh Lord, today I change my emphasis. I'm going to live for your glory in this life and in that which is to come. God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse my sins of materialism. I receive life. I receive power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, help me. Give me a personal revelation of the reality of the resurrection, of the reality of the best resurrection, and then have mercy on me to be faithful, to watch and pray always, that I may be accounted worthy to escape all of the great tribulation and partake of the tree pre-tribulation order of your resurrection that is coming, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. 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 Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, oh Reyash, we thank you for your blood, La Brikato Fridea. We thank you for your life, Rikato Fredesk. We thank you for your power, Nekar, Tolomashiko, Rico, Rantolo Bergega, Lambra, Lambri Dishkufrini, Shekiko Fre, into our wills, La Brikatolo Matufrines, into our minds, La Brikato Friningito Fresk, into our emotions, La Brikato Frines, into our bodies, Celebrito Frines. Lambreach, into our circumstances, Rikoto Fridika Maturu Negarsk, into our regional heavenlies, Ratuske Freer, insufficient measure, Rika, Rikoto Freer, Lopridikogla, Lambrikoshko, Rito Frida, Lambrito Frides, in Jesus' name. Joseph, the Bible says these things are written for our learning. Joseph lived a very successful natural life. He had wealth, he had money, he had wife, he had children, but he didn't lose sight of his resurrection. God will bless you. You will live a good life. Bless you with money, with wealth, with fame, but never lose sight of your resurrection. Never. It's not emphasized today at all. And many people erroneously believe that once you're a Christian and you make it, all of us are going to have resurrection. It's not like that. Yes, we're all going to be resurrected. Don't misunderstand. But it's not going to be. There's going to be different orders. There are going to be different glories. And some may not even get glorified bodies. What a disaster. Is heaven or? He's not going to hell. But he's going to have a natural, just be like in the natural man. No difference between what he is now. The only difference is now that our body now, you know, it won't be sick again. And then, you can eat and all of that. But he can't fly around. It's not glorified. Not make what gives you that capacity to walk through walls. It's a glorified body. Now, with the knowledge of science we have now, God has given us extra insight and revelation. I knew this years ago. I stopped playing church. I'm not going to lose my glorified body because of some stupid, physical pleasure. Lose my inheritance for a piece of pottage. God forbid. Now, if you're sick in your body, I'm going to pray for you. Just stretch forth your hands. If you're at home, stretch forth your hands towards your device. That's why God wants you healed and strong. So you can pray, you can walk in the Spirit, you can do all the things God wants you to do, and obtain a better and the best resurrection. It's not automatic. What you do, that's why works come in. According to their works. Now, not works of the flesh, but works of the Spirit will not determine your resurrection. So start sowing towards your resurrection now. Stretch forth that hand. Father, we come, we release your healing power into every physical body that is here represented, that are stretching forth their hands, those here and those at home. We release healing power now in Jesus' name. You say you send your word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction. We come against the spirit of fear, spirit of doubt, the spirit of oppression, spirit of depression. We cast you out from their souls and bodies. Destroy your works therein. This is now we bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to minister unto them. Set them free in Jesus' name. Amen. See, folks, the main reason, not the only reason, but the main reason why God wants you strong, he wants you healthy, he wants you financially prosperous, is to free you so you can pursue these things. If you're sick, you can't pray. You can't fast. You can't go to the nations. That's the reason, oh. That's the main reason. So you can be free to do anything God wants you to do. Your physical body now becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit through which the life of God can flow, heal people, virtue will go out of you and heal them all. That's why he doesn't want you sick. Sickness is not in our covenant. Healing and health is a part of our bill of rights. It's your covenant right as a Christian, so you can serve God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. The Lord imparts on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you have this hope in you. So you purify yourself to obtain the best resurrection. And so you will have no bones broken in Jesus' name. Joseph's bones were not broken. They were taken intact. Your bones will not be broken in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.